As thankful as we are for our fathers, I'm sitting up here singing it as well with my soul. I am also very, very thankful. I think I can speak for my wife as well, to watch our sons and our son-in-law, Josh, over in Cambodia, just raise their own children and doing a much better job than I have ever done raising the children. And there's a lot of girls in the family, but to watch Sam and John and Dan will be here in a week, I think 9 days with his gang, and then Josh in Cambodia raising the six right as of now, just loving the kids and spending time with them and raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Is just we're just very, very thankful for that. I believe the need of the hour, and her many needs, is for a few good men. And God's just looking for a few, all right? He doesn't necessarily work in multitudes. For a few good men who love the Lord to be Ephesians 4:32 Christians. And ladies, you could be Ephesians 4:32 Christian as well, right? Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you." That's the kind of men we need. Men who are gentle, kind, loving, but are not afraid to stand up and say, "I am a man, and this is what manhood looks like." Amen? Need that. Gentle giants. The man that loves what God loves and hates what God hates. And to the best of their ability, demonstrate God's word in real time wherever they are living. I believe our nation, our churches, our homes needs to see this kind of a man, not perfect. And I want to go to Solomon this morning to remind you, and you know all this, but I want to remind you of three traits that men of God, and women too, need to demonstrate now. We need this desperately. This nation needs light to shine. Jesus said, don't hide it. Put it on a lampstand. Shine. Three traits. This applies, as I said, to every believer. They all start with I, because we like to alliterate a little bit. And, you know, Father's Day, as I prayed before, it's a tough day for a lot of us because we miss our dads. How many miss their dad? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you don't miss your dad, but I miss my dad. You know, it's been a long time since he went home to heaven, but boy, I was thinking earlier this morning, I remember when my dad, he just loved the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember after his funeral, I'd meet up with people and say, "You know what? Your dad always gave us tracts. Your dad was always witnessing to us." I mean, that's a cool thing to hear. I'll tell you what. I remember when my dad, we were expecting our first child, and we didn't want my wife to drive all the way to Dallas from New Jersey in the 71 Nova with no air conditioning and all that. So my dad drove that car down. We had a ton of fun driving from Jersey to Dallas, stopping for a hot dog all the time. And when we got down to Dallas, my dad got out and kissed the car. It was he was sort of like, you know, another dad I know, Brian, you know. And we had fun doing Christian radio. And, wow, we did funerals together. And just, I miss him dearly. But he modeled some of these things. So let me give this to you this morning. Right, number one, nothing new here. First trait we need to just model out there is internal integrity. That's integrity that comes from the inside and just manifests itself on the outside. Proverbs chapter 20, let me find it here in my Bible here. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says this: "The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him." The righteous, that's a person who's placed their faith in Christ. That's the godly man, all right, who walks. That's the life. That's just a one-time event. That's just day in, day out lifestyle. Walks in his integrity. And let me tell you what integrity means. You know what integrity means, because you often don't see it. And we're upset when we don't see it. Integrity means being blameless. Means when you throw something at the person, it won't stick. It means routine dependability. This person is trustworthy. When things are going well, when things aren't going well. This person keeps his word, reliable, sober, thinks clearly, not sinless or perfect, because nobody is sinless or perfect except who? The Lord Jesus. We know that. This person thrives by telling the truth, has a life direction of doing the right thing, and is guided by the fear of the Lord. Thrives best where there is accountability. That's why biblical fellowship, meeting the church, is so important. And if you're going to maintain integrity, integrity, being blameless, requires for the man of God and the woman of God, routine, ongoing repentance. You know what repentance is? Repentance is coming in contact with God's word, seeing where we're off, confessing that, and realigning our lives to go in God's direction. Need to do it all the time. It's not just a one-time event. Need constant alignment, constant going to the word of God. It means maintaining a good conscience, because it's easy in our culture for our consciences to be defiled. We put a stack of books on the table for you called The Man in the Mirror, and here it is, solving the 24 problems men face. We only have 24 problems to handle, okay? That's not too bad. I'm so proud of Uncle Artie, because Uncle Artie read, this is a long book with small print. Uncle Artie went and read the book and said, you know, this is really, really good stuff. These are for you, and you could take one if you're not a man. You could take one if you know some men in the neighborhood or in your family who need one. Please make yourself, avail yourself of this book, because these got Pat Morley, highly endorsed by a lot of good people you know, just gives us a handle on how to be men, how to be believers who are pursuing integrity before the watching world, all right? This kind of a man will deal with guarding himself from a pornographic culture. Very important. Very, very important. Very, very deadly. And that's why Max's testimony is so important. I hope you can say it for that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 comes to mind. And this is only, the only other verse I'm going to use in this section here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 caught my attention this last week. It's in the Beatitudes. And Jesus says this to kingdom citizens, to those who want to pursue a heart that loves Christ, that wants to obey him. The Lord Jesus said, Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the, what? Pure in heart. That heart needs to be cultivated. All right? That heart needs to be cultivated. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We're not going to do it this morning, but for the last couple of weeks, we've been studying about the Puritans a little bit in Sunday school hour and learning a little bit about them and what they stood for, what they taught. Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, and some of you picked up his book the last couple of weeks, he wrote 27 pages on Matthew 5, 8 alone. And it is just, I wish I had a copy for it. He just deals with how important it is in maintaining this kind of pure heart. That's integrity. Integrity, as I said, flows from the inside out, but you need to cultivate it. And some of you this morning, I don't know, you may need a restart. And that's okay, because this is a great place to restart. This is a great place to say, hey, you know what? Haven't been doing too good. Maybe it's time to confess, repent, and restart. Every now and then, not so often these days, unless it's raining and the phone line is not working, what our internet won't work well, or the computer won't work well, or something like that, and you try to fix it, so you end up calling the phone number, and you get somebody on the phone with a foreign accent, and they're very, very polite, right? And I often ask, where am I calling? And they'll say, India, or maybe the Philippines, or someplace like that, and they'll get my account, they'll get all the numbers, and they always call me Mr. David with a nice accent. Mr. David, thank you so much, how can we help you? And I'll tell them my problem, and I don't even know what I'm talking about. And they know I don't, they know I don't know what I'm talking about. But they're still very polite, very, very polite. And they will often say, what you need to do, you need to turn off your device, right? You need to unplug it. You need to disconnect all the wires. And they'll say, I guess I have nothing else to do. They'll say, we'll wait while you go do that. Okay, did you do it? And I say, yes, I did. And then they'll say, wait a few seconds. Plug all the wires back in. turn it back on, and guess what usually happens? It works. It's like a miracle. I still believe in miracles. Don't you? Modern day miracle. The internet works better than ever, the phone, whatever it is. And they know that. And that they'll say, Mr. David, is there anything else I can do for you? And I always give them something to make them smile. And, sometimes we need to do that spiritually. We need to restart. We need to restart. Things aren't working. Things aren't working. We've tried to do it our way, and it gets worse, or nothing's getting better. We're spinning our wheels. Sometimes we just need to do it God's way. Often we need to do it God's way. Just kind of restart. And if you're struggling with integrity, only you know in your heart. It may be a good time to just today or even before the end of the service, just spend some time confessing that as sin before the Lord. Say, you want to be a man, a woman who has this kind of lifestyle. Good time for a restart. Good time for restart. There's another trait here. I think Tim mentioned it with his dad. And I want to call this one, the first one was internal integrity. This one I want to call external instruction. External instruction. And the point here is Solomon reminds us that the godly man, the wise man's integrity will spill out into his words. We're jumping here for a moment to New Testament. When Paul gives Timothy instructions for how to operate in the church, how to find leaders, he says, find men, appoint men as elders. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the end of verse 2, interesting, who are able or apt to teach. Find men, he gives all kind of qualifications, not just this one, but find them that are able or apt to teach. And often somebody will read that verse and say, I can never be a leader, I can never qualify here because I do not have the gift of teaching. It doesn't say this man has to have the gift of teaching. It doesn't say he has to be a good teacher. It says he has to have a working knowledge of God's word. A couple weeks ago, I think I mentioned this in church out loud, I discovered on YouTube a program popped up called The Rick and Bubba Show. Ever hear of those guys? I know you did because I sent it to you. And they're from Alabama. They've been doing this for, I think, 28 years. They have this rate. You can watch it. And they're hilarious. They love the Lord Jesus, but they're on secular radio. And they do their thing. They talk about everything. And behind the scenes, I just learned that Rick Burgess is out there doing men's conferences, teaching the Bible every week as an hour podcast. We're just teaching verse by verse through Scripture. And I started listening to him. And he's an off-the-chart teacher. I wish I could teach as good as he. I wish I had the passion he had. And I emailed him and said, hey, man, we never heard of you up here. And he wrote back a little bit. But we don't have to be like Rick Burgess. A man doesn't have to be like that. He just has to have a handle on God's word. That's what the Bible is talking about. Being able to teach means, and let me give you some things. You may want to jot some of this down. It won't appear on the screen for you. This means having a working knowledge of God's word. This means this man, and ladies, this applies to you too, this means having developed your own biblical convictions. Sometimes Christians never develop their own convictions. They're always imitating somebody else. And when it comes to biblical convictions, we're always fine-tuning them. We're always fine-tuning them. It means this person, when we talk about external instruction, can graciously verbalize his convictions clearly on salvation, on holy living. Can he express his convictions on biblical marriage? We need to do that. On the gender issue, we need to do that. Race, morality, this man can do that. Proverbs 15, and this is where it's really good. Proverbs 15, verse number 23. Proverbs 15, 23 says this. And this is what this man will be able to do. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man. And a word in season, how good is it? Solomon is rejoicing here. The person who can give the right answer at the right time. A word in season, How good is it? And beloved, we need to have men and women right now in our culture and our neighborhood be able to give an apt, appropriate answer to things that are going on in our culture. It's crazy out there. It is absolutely crazy out there. And I was going to go through Romans 1 this morning and Genesis 2. I said, that is so negative. I think I'm just going to deal with this. But it's, we need men who could answer this. This person, under number 2, refuses to remain silent or passive. It's tough. We hear all the bad news, and people are sending me podcasts and articles all the time. And you read all this stuff, you watch all this stuff, and just get mad. You know, this man, this woman will not just get mad, they'll do something about it. They will respond. Let's go to some Proverbs this morning. I want to go to Proverbs 3. If you have your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 3. And 4 is included, but we read this, so I won't go to Proverbs 4. I'm going to go to Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 7, because this father, Solomon writes about, is very active, very instructive when it comes to the issues of the day. He warns him. He's not afraid to be passive and say, well, the Holy Spirit will lead him or whatever. No, he gets and does some teaching. Proverbs chapter 3. Remember, this is coming from the godly father. My son, do not forget my teaching. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Let your heart keep my commandments. And here's the promise. For length of days, years of life, and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Very descriptive, is it not? Very descriptive. And if you do that, verse 4, you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. You know these, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is coming from a father. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, verse 7. That's when we get in trouble. And we need fathers, we need mothers to come alongside us and say, you know what? You don't know everything. You don't know everything. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh, verse 8, refreshment to your bones. And then he talks about wisdom. The whole chapter is good. Go to chapter 5. This father instructs. This father warns. He is not silent. He is not passive. He is not afraid to sail into the wind. We need men like that. Not afraid. Speak the truth. Speak it graciously. Speak it gently. But tell the truth. Sail into the wind. Sail into the wind. I was watching the Rick and Bubba podcast. Sorry about that. And they were doing an interview with Kirk Cameron. You know Kirk Cameron? You know that man? Godly man out there. And all these people believe in staying in the secular realm to be a testimony. And he was talking about who are the guys who put out Fireproof? The Kendrick Brothers have a new film coming out this fall. It's going to be off the charts. It's going to be dealing with biblical adoption and all that. It's going to be, Kendrick Brothers say it's going to be one of their best ones yet. And Kirk Cameron's going to be one of the stars. And he was promoting, Kirk Cameron in the podcast was promoting a homeschool movie he was putting in the movie theater for a couple days. And we listened to the interview. It was funny. It was informative. It was very good. So I said to my wife, I had her watch it, and she's trying to figure out why is her husband listening to Rick and Bubba. She's trying to figure that one out. But anyhow, I said, hey, let's go see if that movie's around here. Okay, let's go see if it's showing. Probably not. And so she punched in the zip code, and sure enough, it was showing down to the old, it used to be Frank Theater. What's it now? It's Regal or something. So we went down there with Lori on Monday night, and we watched a long presentation on homeschool, and part of the argument for home education, Christian education, as the kids today, and you need to know this, you probably know this, they're exposed in the governmental schools to about 40 hours of ungodly instruction. When you take classroom time and homework time, they said about 40 hours, 40 hours. And even if you're a Christian teacher, even if you love the Lord Jesus, you're still required to teach the nonsense. You got to do it. And Kurt, it was Kirk Cameron and Rick and Bubba were saying, how in the world do you think we're going to make a difference putting a kid in church for about 1 to 2 hours a week where they're coloring a picture of Noah's Ark? Is that going to make a difference when they're under 40 hours of ungodly training? What do we need? We need fathers. We need fathers. We need mothers who are not going to be afraid to deal with the issues. Deal with the issues often, early, and not be afraid. Verse 5, chapter 5, Proverbs 5, verse 1. Here it is. We'll get into just a little bit to show what's going on here. The father here says, "My son, be attentive to wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion, your lips may guard knowledge." Here we go, verse 3, "For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey." What's he saying? Looks good, feels good, seems good. "And her speech is smoother than oil." That may not say much in our culture, but back then it was sailing into the wind. "But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a double-edged sword." Verse 5, "Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander. She does not know it." And he goes throughout the rest of the chapter and says, you need to avoid this like the plague. He's very specific. Because what? The wages of sin all the time is what? Death. And you could read the rest of the chapter, very, very descriptive. Chapter 7, a little sample here. Here's the father who is not afraid of external instruction. He's not afraid of dealing with biblical conviction and warning. This guy, these kids, this man is hearing it from his parents, from home. Verse number 1 of chapter 7, keep my words. Treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments. And by the way, the commandments are from the Word of God, okay, not just random commandments. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Call insight your intimate friend. Here it is. They will keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. And let's read a little bit here. And then he gives a picture. It's very illustrative in that culture. "For at the window of my house I looked out, and through my lattice I have seen among the simple. I perceived among the youth a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight and the evening at the time of night and darkness." He's in the wrong place at the wrong time, not intending to get in trouble, but he does. You read this before. Let me jump to the end of chapter 7. Let me jump in verse 24. The father says this, Now, my sons, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. Wow. If that son would remember what his dad told him, it would keep him out of trouble. Serious instruction. Ancient Jewish life, a father was obligated to do at least 4 duties. I'll just give you this by way of information. Circumcise his son. Glad we don't have to do that. Teach him the book of Moses. Find him a wife. You hope your dad had good eyesight, okay? And teach him a trade as a means of livelihood. Today, even in our Christian culture, most of us are happy if mom gets to do all that. We'd rather have mom do it. We're busy with other things. I found a verse was made known to me this week. It's always been here. Exodus, write this one down. We'll come back to this a little later on. Exodus 34, 23. Exodus chapter 34, verse 23. I got this from Rick Burgess. He was talking about the lack of men's ministry in our country today. And he reminded us, Exodus 34, 23. I'll read this to you. This went on in ancient Israel. Moses was concerned with the men. He was concerned that the men be the leaders. He was concerned that the men just didn't pass it off to someone else. It says here in Exodus 34, 23, and this is in Deuteronomy as well, 3 times a year, Three times a year shall your males appear before the Lord your God in Israel. They would make sacrifice, they would celebrate, they would be instructed. God dealt with the men, the fathers. You know, my wife is a great teacher, and when she's about to teach something or get into something, it is amazing. It is amazing. But you know what? Every man needs to instruct. Every man needs to instruct. Internal integrity, external instruction, and one more quickly, Proverbs 31. Let's go to the end here. I won't talk about disciplining children today because most of you are past that. Third I is, I'm going to call this one, active, proactive intervention. Almost like instruction, just a little bit different. This is action. This is for the father today. This is the admonition to come alongside younger men, not to be critical, but to try to understand them and encourage them. Let me say that again. This is the admonition to come alongside younger men, not to be critical. We like being critical. We like to say, well, when I was young, when I was growing up, when I was in my dad's house, you know what? That day's gone. The culture has rapidly changed, and it'll make you dizzy. It's changing so fast. It's not done yet. We need to encourage the young guys. They're going to do things differently. They think differently. They have different values. As long as they're biblical, we need to encourage them. Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9, comes from a godly mom to her son that was the king. And some of us think King Lemuel was Solomon. We're not really sure, so I can't be dogmatic there. But the king's mother said to him, said verse 8 and 9, very interesting, and we'll just mention this. Open your mouth for the mute. Open your mouth for the rights of all who are destitute. Intervene. Take up the cause. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Speak up for what's right. Speak up for what's right. You know, last week in Sunday school, we were talking about some things going on, and we said, what should we do? What can we do to make a difference during a month like this month? And Vic reminded us, you know, we could write letters. We could write letters when there's immoral things going on in our culture. We can write the CEO. We can write the heads of companies and not blast them, but very, very politely and gently tell them where our convictions are and that not everybody agrees with the perceived flow of things. We can intervene. We can make a difference, because if good people say nothing, evil's just going to keep going and going and going. Phone calls. Intervention. When I was younger, I believe in the 60s, there was a popular song out there called, a very pretty little song, What the World Needs Now is What? That wasn't by Paul McCartney. That was Backrackin'. What's his name? Wrote. That wasn't Paul McCartney. You know, what the world needs now, what the nation needs now, what the church needs now is not just love, sweet love, these men of God, who are going to demonstrate, like Daniel, internal integrity. External instruction and divine proactive intervention. By the way, I reminded myself this week that, because I'm still studying this, I went to bed really thinking this through last night. You know, I'm looking at the ascension, and I'm thinking about what were the post-ascension believers like. You know, the post-ascension, post-Pentecost believers did not pray for all the things we're burdened about today. They didn't pray for religious freedom. They didn't pray for protection. They didn't pray for all this stuff. You know what they prayed for? I'll tell you what, one verse here and we're done. Acts 4:29. Let me show you what the early believers prayed for. And God was so pleased with their prayer, he answered it on the spot. Acts 4, verse 29. Mike, this is for you, okay, buddy? This one's for you. Acts 4:29. This is post-ascension, post-Pentecost. The Spirit has already been given to every believer in Jesus Christ. Things are about to get really crazy. And it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, they're praying, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats." We're getting threats. "Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all" what?
Boldness.
Don't deliver us. Don't continue to keep us in our comfort. Just give us boldness. And it's always, boldness is not being nasty, okay? It's just being forthright. And it says here, when we cut down to verse 31, I love it. "When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to speak the word of God" with what? Boldness. Boldness. God answered that prayer. Father, thank you for our godly men and our godly women. And sometimes we really don't know what to do today. Things seem beginning crazier and darker, and the more we hear it, we can get mad and discouraged. Lord, remind us. Remind us that your plan, your program has not changed. You delight to work with the few who trust you and obey you and desire to represent you before a dark and dying world. Father, ever since Genesis chapter 3, it's been a very dark, dying, sinful culture. And Lord, we just know more about it because of the technology that communicates it to us. Father, your word hasn't changed. Father, give us the conviction to do what's right, to trust you, to see you do great things, and we'll give you all the glory. And Father, for those of us who may need a reset today, and maybe we're not where we need to be, Father, give us the grace to repent, to confess, to realign, and watch you use us with greater efficiency, effectiveness. And Father, we do pray for boldness, even today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.